Coming up next, WWER presents Your Care Partners, a show dedicated to providing support and education to our community about caregiving. Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Experienced professional caregivers Jill White and Marty Allman have casual conversations about care, offering advice and tips to help navigate caring for others. Jill White is a certified dementia practitioner and an Alzheimer's Association facilitator for caregiver support groups with over 30 years' experience working in long-term care. Marty Allman is certified as a master trainer for the Best Friends approach to Alzheimer's. She is a certified psychiatric nursing assistant with over 20 years' experience working in long-term care.
Hi, welcome to WWER 88.1 FM, Colonial Beach. I'm Marty Allman.
And I'm Jill White.
And we are your care partners.
And we have the distinct pleasure today of introducing you to Amber Cisneros, franchise owner of Comfort Keepers in Fredericksburg. And I think, Amber, we're just going to be informal and let you tell us a little bit about your background, the company, your guest Desiree that's with you, and we'll just take it from there.
Thank you so much, Jill and Marty. I'm just super fortunate to be here today. My name, as you mentioned, is Amber Cisneros. I am the very blessed owner of Comfort Keepers. We service the greater Fredericksburg area, which does include Colonial Beach, King George, and all the way over to Stafford, down to Ladysmith. Just a really fortunate to be able to take care of some really amazing clients. And I'd love to introduce Desiree Doomling. She is actually one of our amazing caregivers. Just really fortunate to, like I said, be blessed with this company. I spent around 25 years in financial services and just always felt this strong desire. I'm a caregiver at heart. I've taken care of many people over my lifetime, especially my grandmother when she was dealing with late stage Alzheimer's, and just always had a passion. I think each and every one of us has something in their life that draws them. Some people are puppies and dogs and animals. Some people are children. For me, I've always had a heart for seniors and just love being able to bless them with companionship. And also when they're in their time of need, just being able to bless them with personal care and people who they can trust to take care of them.
Awesome. That actually kind of answers our first question about your background and what inspired you to start or get involved with Comfort Keepers. And we like to talk about, let's say, common misconceptions about in-home care services that you frequently encounter.
Agencies are hit or miss. You know, there are tons of amazing agencies here in the greater Fredericksburg area and Colonial Beach that service all of the areas here. And I think, you know, there, it's really, when you're looking for an agency, I think the number one thing that's important is understanding the mission and vision and who is actually running the agency. Because the leader is really going to, and what they're trying to accomplish is going to float down all the way to their caregivers and then to their clients. Mm-hmm. I am very fortunate to be the sole owner of Comfort Keepers. It had been owned by corporate for many, many years, and I bought it last year. And this is not a money play for me. This is really because I have the heart. You know, I, like I said, worked 20 plus years in financial services. I was an executive. I made plenty of money. That wasn't why I decided to move my family across country from California. I did it because I wanted to leave the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at agencies, there are agencies that, you know, do it for the money because it can be very lucrative. Mm-hmm. And then there are agencies that do it because they have a heart for it. So I've met many different agencies, worked with many different agencies. And I think when you're looking for, if someone is looking for an agency, that's the number one, is who is running it? What? Why are they doing it? Why are they passionate about it? Mm-hmm. You know, they always say it comes from the top.
Do their values match your values, mm-hmm. you know, and vice versa, I would say clients as well, because Absolutely. That can be a little tricky too. But having the same values, I think, is really important, and selecting an agency as well.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the other things that saddens me is the affordability for care can be very expensive.
Yes.
The great thing about an agency, which can also be difficult for clients to understand, is when you use a private caregiver, that private caregiver really takes the full liability of the care, and you as the person who is employing that caregiver takes the liability of that caregiver. So caregiver falls, has an accident, slips, mm-hmm. back injuries, that really is the client's liability, you know, and vice versa. If something happens to you, if there's theft, you know, things that happen, mm-hmm. it's really that relationship with the caregiver. So you really have to make sure there are great mm-hmm. caregivers out there, and absolutely. You can find some great private caregivers. Just make sure you do due diligence. An agency like mine, we do full background checks. We do them yearly. We do ongoing training, making sure that they have the skills necessary to be able to support. We also carry myself, I can't speak for all agencies, but I carry all the liability insurance, personal injury insurance. They happen to drive, they are covered with my automobile insurance, as well as I cover all workman's comp. So if mm-hmm. something happens to that caregiver, they're fully supported. So when you look at the price tag from a private to an agency, mm-hmm. you're really just getting that ability to have that comfort knowing that you're covered. So it may seem like a differential. Sometimes it's $15, $16 more that you're paying. Mm-hmm. But if that safety and soundness is very important to you, that money kind of, you know where that value comes from. Mm-hmm. So yeah, misconception, I think, like you said, one of those is why is agency so much more expensive? And it really is because you're getting that safety and security of knowing that there's an agency that's holding that liability.
So Desiree, you're here with us.
Yes.
How did you get involved in home care? What's your background in that? How did it inspire you to go work for Comfort Keepers?
Well, my journey started with my mom in 2004. We're from California. And so because of a job opportunity in D.C., so I decided to relocate to California for that. As an only child, I told Mom, who stayed in California, about our plans. And I said, once I get over there, I said, I'm going to stay with your sister for about a month. That's all about all I could stand. And then I'm going to get a realtor and get us a place. So that's what I did. Colonial Beach, I went into a real estate office in Fredericksburg, where she lived, and I saw a picture of our beach house, where we're still at over 20 years, we're still there. And I'm like, you know what? It's a little fixer-upper, but she's got some good bones on her, so I'm going to get us that. Mm-hmm. I am going to get us that. So the real estate agent, she said, I never heard of the town. Virginia Beach? I said, no, let's take a drive Saturday. And fast forward, here we are. And then I went back to California, and I told Mom I got us a place, and I came. So around 2011, now Mom, in 1989, unbeknownst to me, always took care of her health and her care, did get tested and was tested in 1989 for dementia.
Wow.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know she went to the doctor for that.
That's fairly common for them, for family members not to share.
Didn't share, had no idea. But when Mom was in California and I was still here, speaking with her every day, I did pick up, you know, because of the distance maybe, and I wasn't there with her. I started picking up. I'm like, you know, didn't she just ask me that question like five times?
Right.
You know, I wonder what's going on. So I've always had a power of attorney and a health directive. So I called her doctor, asked the question that he said, yeah, she was diagnosed. I said, well, that's the reason. Okay. So I know I'll take it from there and be a little bit more gentle and understanding.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Mom came in 2004 to live with me in our place here. And in 2011, started getting, she had a TIA.
For people who don't know what a TIA is, it's a small, brief stroke.
Yes.
That's the best way to explain it in layman's terms.
Exactly. It was a mild stroke, and was able to get her into the hospital in time. You know, you have a three-hour time frame to get them in, to get them taken care of. There's medications that they could use. And mom is very resilient. So when that happened, went to the Mary Washington, as usual. Our rescue squad here is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I can't thank them
She's
enough.
Like a Colonial Beach cheerleader.
I'm telling you, rah-rah, boom dia. They work for us. And they have been part of our family for over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Every single one of them.
That's awesome.
Pat is just phenomenal. She and her team, you know, came as usual to the house, helped us. And then mom always recovered, always. And I was in the military. I was in the Army. So, like she always says, you're the drill sergeant.
Aww.
And I don't give up. I don't give up. You will do it. Okay? Trust me. I know we have limits, and I know what we can go beyond our limits. We're not that fragile.
Mm-hmm.
We'll survive. So, that being said, so in 2011, you know, we took care of that. Then in 2013, she had a massive, the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And that left her quite disabled. And I, you know, I've learned so much in taking care of my mom, because I took care of my mom with all the strokes and a craniotomy because of a hematoma in 2017, and had to have a feeding tube. So every 2 years, mom had a stroke. And in 2017, that hematoma, when she got to the hospital, of course, well, she's in her 80s, nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no. Tell the neurologist, no, and I told him, I said, stop thinking and looking at her age, okay?
Which happens.
It happens
very often.
All the time.
In healthcare, you know, and I don't want to make, you know, meanies out of doctors or anything like that. But it's ageism, and sometimes that does happen.
It does happen.
And if you know that person personally, it is great that you know, fought for her.
You have to advocate.
You do.
Because you know you're a family member, and you know how much in living with them and being with them, how little and how much they could take and they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is resilient. So I said, she's in her 80s. I said, but if she weren't in her 80s, what would you do with a hematoma? Well, we do a craniotomy. Chances are she may or may not make it. I said, well, chances are leaving her hair like this in the ER, she may or may not make it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take the chance and let's do it.
Very brave.
All right. We did have the surgery, and mom made it through. Of course, there were some repercussions of it. The loss of swallow, aphasia, and then we had that, and then so we had to have a feeding tube.
And you're
course,
learning all this
all
on
of
your
this.
Own. No formal training.
No training, but the nurses, the CNAs, they were my instructors. And I also did learn, and not a lot of people knew that, I didn't know that, was that when you're in the hospital, you don't have to sign, and the case manager for that floor says, well, you know, the patient looks good. We're going to do a discharge. Here's the papers. You don't have to sign unless you feel
that you're safe.
That you're safe and ready to be discharged.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. So after the 2011, even though I still thought mom needed some more time, I still signed because I thought we had to bring her back home. Didn't have to. Mom can stay in there for a week or 2 weeks. If you feel the need that she needs additional help.
That's really good information. I don't want to get political or anything like that, but I do think that insurance companies, you know, kind of push to get people out before they're ready.
Exactly.
And you have nurses who advocate for patients and CNAs who advocate for patients that are like, how is this person going to go home?
And exactly.
So, you know, that's really a good piece of information for people to advocate for their family member. No, my living situation is not okay.
We're not prepared.
Right.
We're not prepared.
And it's
all you have to do is use the words unsafe discharge and they'll back it down.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly, Jill.
Not trying to make any enemies out there, but we want people to be informed.
Exactly.
And it is that social worker's job to help find care at home,
exactly.
To help the caregiver caregive.
Exactly.
You know, where they would maybe reach out to an agency like yours or something like that.
Exactly.
So, Desiree, I was just going to say, you're like the poster child for on-the-job training, which is what every caregiver pretty much does.
Yeah.
You're on your own, you're learning, you're trying to figure it out. God bless you if you have people that are helping. Doesn't always work out that way.
No, no.
Right.
And that's what we always focus on, is the care for the caregivers.
Yeah.
Well, the care for the caregivers is now catching up with me, since, you know, Mom passed last August. And now I'm going back out there to my own doctors, and they're all telling me, "You're falling apart, man. What happened? I told you to make that appointment. You know, you know, you got to get dental work, and you know, you got to, you know, you need a masseuse."
Yeah. You put things off.
You know, I put things off to the point where I, you know, it's like now I need a caregiver. So,
well, the statistics actually show that the caregivers often sicken and die sometimes before the people they're caring for.
That's true.
They put themselves by the wayside, and you're not thinking of yourself when you when you're taking care of your loved ones. Believe me, it didn't faze me that I was letting myself neglect my own needs.
You sort of turn into a machine.
Yeah,
don't
a machine.
You
know, you're all about functioning and doing, and you know, you're making sure my mom's needs are met. Didn't even want to think, you know, that cough that I had. Take a couple of cough drops, some NyQuil, and you're good to go. Get back out there and do your job, you know.
But, so as family caregivers are impacted with mental and physical health issues, what advice do you guys have, perhaps, for the caregivers who are feeling overwhelmed or isolated, especially
in
their role?
Is there a specific?
Yeah, the number one thing is you have to ask for help. And the first place that you need to go is to your family. Exactly. And I think a lot of times people who end up being caregivers are usually the ones because they have a heart for it, and then they feel guilty for asking for help. But people want to help you. You know, there are family members. You just have to reach out. There are a lot of services out there that are untapped. So if you're a veteran, the Veterans Association, you know, get a case manager. They provide some really great benefits. We have roughly around 30 VA clients that we serve. And the VA does a phenomenal job, job. Especially we work with the Richmond VA, and they just, you can tell that they really do care about their vets, and they're really trying to do everything they can to get those services out to them. We kind of say, you know, you want to try to keep the individual as independent as possible. Then you overlay that with the main caregiver, and then you overlay with family. And then if you don't have family or friends to support, then you do need to try to tap into whatever resources you can get. So obviously, like I said, the VA, a lot of times the person who's caregiving doesn't realize that a lot of people have long-term care insurance that they paid from their jobs years ago. We all know back in the day, benefits were a lot better for employees. So check out the documents, see what they have available to them. You know, Medicaid is also an option to check and see what benefits you apply for. So tap into whatever resources you have. And then, you know, there are agencies as well, but the affordability, like I said, is sometimes a challenge. So, you know, check your options, ask for help, find the resources. You know, there's always social services that can also provide resources to you. There's many organizations that have volunteer people who will actually come out and volunteer and help support, especially there's hospice. If you are caring for someone who's in hospice, there are people who will go volunteer and help support. There are resources out there. You never feel alone. That's the fastest way to burn out a caregiver, is when you feel alone and that you don't have anybody. There are always resources out there for you.
And local resources to Colonial Beach, Fredericksburg. Here, we actually have a volunteer group, and I don't know if you're aware of this or not. It's called Neighbor to Neighbor. And they have just blossomed because of the need. They have an equipment closet. They have links to caregivers, like local caregivers, people who have been working in the field for years. And, you know, they're private. And, you know, there is a little bit of background checking that people need to do. But Neighbor to Neighbor is a really good resource here in Colonial Beach. And then there's also the Agency on Aging. And I'm sure Fredericksburg has one of those as well. So we have one located in Montrose, Gloucester. There's Fredericksburg. If you're at a place where oh my gosh, here it is. They want to discharge mom from the hospital, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That might be a really good place to start. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do? Mm-hmm. Who do I need to talk to? You know, they would probably refer an agency like Comfort Keepers or something like that. Mm-hmm. So those are resources in our local area. And again, I'll repeat that. The Area Agency on Aging, which most states have that. It might be under a different name, but it'll be an agency on aging, let's put it that way.
Right.
And then also Neighbor to Neighbor here locally in Colonial Beach, they're a nonprofit, and are always looking for volunteers. I just thought I'd put that plug in there.
Exactly. Good resource.
Amber, do you guys have, I'm assuming you have protocol where you evaluate and then reevaluate? Because I think what happens to caregivers that are in it, it's like the, what is it, the frog in the pot?
Yes.
Yeah,
they
that's
keep
a good analogy.
Taking on more, taking on more, taking on more. And how do they know when they can't handle it anymore? You know, what's the sign?
Yeah, we do. So part of the agency, what we do is we have full-time nurses on staff. So because we're licensed by the state of Virginia, and we do it anyways because we think it's the right thing to do, but we do an initial assessment by a nurse before you sign on with us. So we take the baseline of what the client's needs are, not just personal needs, but even companionship. You know, what are the things that they like to do? Do they like to read? Do they like to garden? Do they like to cook? Because you really want to try to bring those, we call them moments of joy, to the lives of our clients. And those companionships are as, if not even more important than the personal care that's needed. So we do the assessment, we find out the needs, we build out the care plan, and then those care plans are reassessed every 3 months by our team. So someone will come out and, you know, they have the baseline, and then they'll look at, okay, what's changed? Is there memory changes? Is there mobility changes? And so those all get documented. So we do, and then once that happens, then we discuss with the family, okay, what else do we need? We also, so I always say that, yes, the client is the person who we're caring for, but I also look at the family and the main caregiver, whether it's a daughter or a husband or wife, they are equally our client. So my job is to make their life easier. And so we work together to figure out, okay, what resources are there, what needs, what families, and we have those discussions every 3 months to really make sure that the caregiver, again, which is the family member, the main caregiver, that we can support that. Mm-hmm. And then we also, because we work so closely with the Veterans Association, if it is a vet that is using those services, we will petition to the VA that they need more hours, and we'll give them the reasons why. Mm-hmm. And the VA is very responsive, and it helps support that. So I never say there's no word like I can't, or there's everything is possible. It's just making sure that you are tapping into the right resources. The number one thing is, as the main caregiver, if you're the husband, the wife, the sister, the aunt, you have to check in on yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you are a caregiver, and I can't say this enough, because if you have that caregiving heart, you will put yourself last. Mm-hmm. And you have to raise your hand. You have to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make you anything less. Caregivers are saints on earth. They are angels on earth. Mm-hmm. And it is the hardest job in the world to be a caregiver. Mm-hmm. I love this quote by President Roosevelt, where it says that far and away the best prize life has to offer is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. Mm-hmm. And I know caregivers get this euphoria from caring, mm-hmm. and they get addicted to that euphoria, but they don't, that euphoria overtakes what they're going through or the needs. And a lot of times caregivers are also parents, mm-hmm. they're grandparents, mm-hmm. you know, they have husbands, and all of those things get put aside. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I talk to a client, I tell them, you have to put yourself out of the current situation, because when you're caring, it's moment by moment, mm-hmm. right? It's, I've got to change her. I've got to transfer him. I've got to move him around. I've got to make sure, like, oh my gosh, he has a cough, or mm-hmm. he's not breathing enough, or he's not sleeping. And you don't sleep because you sit there. It's like a brand new baby, right? When you have, you just look at them constantly. Are they breathing? Are they moving? Are they, you know, and that gets so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to check yourself, because no one is going to check it for you.
And I think that's one thing, and we've talked on it many times, Marty and I have, in our prior lives working in nursing homes, assisted living, memory care households. It's the old airplane analogy. You've got to put your mask on first, because you're no help to anybody if you're going down.
Exactly.
And the emotions that you have to deal with, people kind of set them aside until they're overwhelmed. So how do you help caregivers deal with the guilt or whatever other frustrations they're dealing with?
So funny you say guilt. There's also, I think, and I don't know, Desiree, you probably have experienced this. So every caregiver who's caring for a loved one will have this vision in their mind about the most, like, how they want things to go, right? Like, I have this dream. I'm going to keep my parent at home. I'm going to build this shower. I'm going to change things. And when you're caring, it's moment by moment, things change. And so you have to stop looking at it as, this is what I have this vision for, or this is what my parent had this vision for, and really give yourself grace to know that it's never the ideal. It's never the ideal. But just by you being there and caring for them and showing them that love and that compassion, that is ideal. And I think grace on yourself to know that you can't do everything. And again, I can't say it enough, asking for help is really where that rubber meets the road.
Yeah. It's something that the caregivers don't realize, that they can never really rest easy, because what works today is probably not going to work tomorrow. It's a constant shifting. And then they have to figure out, now, how do I deal with this? You know, we've all dealt with the homeowner or the husband that put locks on all the doors. So we ask the question, what happens when there's a fire? There's always a caveat.
Yep.
I know the one thing that really worked for me, I have to be honest, in my mom's journey, I call it, I'm with my mom on her journey. Organization, and whether you're a caregiver, no matter who you are, what you do, to be organized is so important. I kept a journal, and I have books and books and books in. And everyone, you know, they're like, you know, you need to write a book. And I am.
Good.
I'm going to do a handbook. This is just not your, you know, we've got so many out there. This is the real deal with caregivers, because it is stressful. It is, it's a challenge. It's an obligation.
And it's rewarding.
But it is rewarding when you're there last August. After, and you know, those out that are listening, you know, this is me, you know, I was the one that refused all the lunches and dinners and all this, because I didn't want to miss my mom leaving me without being there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, and it paid off.
And I get it. I get it.
You get it?
I get it. I understand.
I was there, and it paid off.
Right.
I think it's also emotionally cathartic, because Marty and I have been pushing journaling or diarying for years.
Yeah.
Because you can look back on a really bad day. You can look back and go, oh, I forgot. We had a really great day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I took videos. I have pictures.
That's priceless.
From 2011, I have the cell phone. I've got videos until a week before mom passed, a video. Even with the Alzheimer's, my only fear was, don't forget me. Don't forget my name. And she never did.
Oh,
I never did.
Beautiful.
Wow. So it was well worth it. Would I do it again? Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change a thing.
Well, you are doing it again. You're doing it now.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm doing it again, you know?
Yeah, you're doing it for somebody else's family, because you found your calling through that experience.
I had no idea after everything transpired. I had no idea, you know, about doing this again. I thought, you know, this is it. You know, mom was it. I'm going to break the mold. This is the end. I'm not, you know, it was so. But I couldn't find myself going back into the corporate world. I couldn't find, it's like, it's not about the money. I need to feel, I need to pass on that love that I still have.
That's a really good way.
There's still a lot of love there.
Oh, yes.
And there's
still growing.
It's still growing. And I want to share that with those that don't have it.
So some of the things you've said, it's definitely different, because when I know I had a lot of issues trying to get family assistance, whether it was through the Veterans Aid in Attendance or Bay Aging or whatever the agency was, it never seemed to be quite enough.
Right.
How do you see the landscape of caregiving evolving in the coming years, especially with advancements in technology?
Great question. You know, I think technology is just, it continues to advance. And, you know, I've looked at different things that have come out to the market that monitor There's this great technology called Sensi AI, which you can just plug in and it monitors potential falls. It monitors, you know, if there's a UTI potentially coming about. There is so many different technologies out there that are coming out. I think that they are going to help supplement, but there is a component that I don't know, and I hope that technology never takes the place of, and you hear it from Desiree's voice, is the love and the companionship and the heart. You know, I always say every good caregiver has, it's like a three-legged stool. You have the head, the heart, and the hands. And I think technology can evolve to help with the head, can help with the hands, but that heart people will always need. That's my hope. I hope that, you know, as technology evolves, we can help and support and help people age in place and be safe. But people are always going to need someone to care for them and that love, which is the human element part.
Ladies, I'd like to take the time. We're running out of time. I'd like to take the time to thank you so much for you driving all the way out here from Fredericksburg for you sharing your heart so much. Yes. I think that we've got a lot of good energy happening here. So I'd like to continue this conversation in a part two.
Yes.
Just as a business owner, you're not a business owner. And I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You really get it. Yes. And that makes me a little bit emotional because in the business, that's hard to find.
Yeah.
So I really
now you're
appreciate
making me
that.
Cry.
Sorry. But that's really hard to find. So I just really appreciate your information and how well-versed you are about caregivers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's our whole goal is to serve caregivers.
Yep.
So thank you, ladies. We'll be back with part two, because I just really think that we've got some really good information here. So thank you very much for showing
Take
up
care.
Today.
Thank you so much.
We have been speaking with Comfort Keepers franchise owner Amber Cisneros and Desiree, who have been giving us wonderful information and ideas, and we are going to continue this. Thank you all for listening to Your Care Partners on WWER 88.1 FM. And stay tuned for part two.
Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
If you or someone you know is caring for others, please feel free to share this podcast with them. You can listen online at wwer.org.
Please send questions, concerns, or suggestions for future topics to our email, carepartners@wwer.org.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.